Well, hey there, everybody. Who's in the mood for some good old-fashioned family entertainment? Exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point. Well, good, because we watched A Talking Cat? Exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point. And by the way, is the name of this podcast B-Movie Mania? Exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point?
Meow! Meow, meow! Meow, meow, meow!
Did I hear an actual cat?
Yeah, it was an actual cat.
Meow, meow, meow!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
Oh, good evening, good day, B-Movie Maniacs, wherever you may be. Welcome to yet another episode of B-Movie Mania. I am your host for this evening, Paul S. Brooks, and with me as always are three, well, human beings that need a lot of help, because humans need a lot of help. Mike Hayes. Jason Hulls.
Meow.
And crazy Chris Hudson.
Meow.
I think you were supposed to say, nom nom nom. Did someone say my name?
Nom nom nom. Did someone say my name?
Oh boy.
I gotta kind of slur it a little bit.
Nom nom nom. Did someone mention my name? never mind.
Guys, as you know, we watched a film recently called A Talking Cat.
Wait,
which
a talking cat?
A talking cat?
A talking cat! Exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point. if I am not mistaken, the film came out in 2013. Let me just check IMDb just to make sure that I got that right.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Yes.
Okay, cool. You know what? Let's just get into it, guys. I'm going to do a quick IMDb synopsis, and then I'll turn you loose. A sassy feline helps a family resolve its problems. Quick takes!
Quick takes!
Let's just go in the order that I introduced you. Mike Hayes, lay it on me. A talking cat. What are your feelings?
This movie had everything you want in a film. Dastardly deeds, dames, and daring do's.
Yes, that's all true. Absolutely. Jason Hulls.
Oh, man. One, has there ever been a better use of punctuation in a movie title? Clearly not.
Probably not.
Also, you know, this movie is going to be interesting for me because I had a couple late things that happened that really kind of adjusted my view of the whole thing. So I'm looking forward to getting into that.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
And crazy Chris Hudson, I hear you've been, what are you drinking over there tonight?
Well, I'm drinking a bottle of Sonoma County's finest wine. That's why they call it that, wine.
Checks out. And what'd you think of a talking cat?
Well, they had a talking cat, and that's where the name comes from, because he's a talking cat.
Are you doing Eugene from The Walking Dead, or are you doing the guy from Sling Blade?
I'm kind of doing Eric Roberts from a Talking Cat.
A Talking Cat?
Because he mumbles every line of dialogue.
Well, there's a good reason for that.
Yeah, we clearly have a lot to get into, so...
Paul, hold on. I we can't go any further without... This entire movie had this music going over like 90% of it, right? Chris, do you remember what that music sounded like?
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, it's do, like cutesy family do, music.
Do, do, do.
So I demand that this podcast have that kind of music under the whole thing.
Okay.
Wait. Or do you mean the reggae version of La Cucaracha?
Let's just call playing. It family fun genre of music.
Okay.
So start that right now. Let's start that right now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I guess I'm doing the edit on this. So Paul, go ahead and start that right
there
now.
There we go.
We got permission.
Yeah. Yeah.
The soundtrack was all royalty free too, wasn't it? So you shouldn't be able to get
the
exact
music. I would
assume.
Yeah, I can probably just find the exact same soundtrack somewhere.
Do 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 do.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, our story begins and right off the bat, we're hit with two things: some light whimsical music. So there you go, we got it going.
Yeah.
Oh, and our titular talking cat Duffy.
Oh yeah.
Who wants it? Let's talk about the elephant in the room here.
I can do it. Can I do my
impression,
please? The
elephant in the room?
Well, the elephant by the name of Eric Roberts.
No. Guys, can I do my impression, please?
Yeah, go.
Okay, one second.
Hi, I'm Duffy, a talking cat.
What's that?
Oh, hold on, let me... Hold on.
Hi, I'm Duffy, a talking cat.
Okay, I didn't quite hear that. Hopefully, it comes through in the edit.
Let me just hold on. One, I got.
Hi, I'm Duffy, the talking cat.
That's pretty close.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty close.
Pretty good.
I like the woods. I always have. You don't get me wrong. I like to be indoors in a nice fluffy bed as much as anyone. More than anyone, probably.
Eric Roberts voiced Duffy, the talking cat, and you guys probably know that there's a little bit of trivia out there in regards to his voiceover work that he did for this film.
Yeah.
Yep.
Please, tell me which fast food bathroom he recorded this in.
Well, okay, I wrote in my...
like a Carl's Jr.
In my notes, I wrote he must have recorded this in his living room. I didn't know that he actually did.
You were right.
Oh.
I have that exact same note, Jay.
Yeah, according to IMDb, I believe he did the whole thing in 15 minutes. The whole movie.
Jesus.
And it shows. And it honestly, spending another 5 to 10 minutes on the dialogue wouldn't have helped. I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect the way it is. 15 minutes is all a master like Eric Roberts needs. Did you catch the Doctor Who reference there, Paul? Mathy Master.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little over my head.
Somehow 15 minutes of recording this still didn't give them enough dialogue, because when the cat robot resets in this movie, it just says the beginning line of it booting up its system again. And it's really weird.
I didn't
cat
think of
robot.
It as a robot.
Yeah, when the cat robot reboots kind of at the whatever part of the movie, he goes, hold on.
I'm Duffy, a talking cat.
But we've already known about Duffy for a very long time, and we know about all the rules about him talking and everything.
I'm Duffy. I'm a talking cat.
Mike, he's reintroducing himself, kind of like Frosty the Snowman says, "Happy birthday! I'm a talking cat."
All right. We got to move this along or it's going to be a long night.
Oh, boy.
So we get some opening credits and then we're introduced to a few of our main characters.
Speaking of long, can I just say,
God damn it, Chris.
They were legally obligated to show just one name on the screen at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was drawn. This whole thing is drawn out.
They put on so many Photoshop filters of a fucking thing.
It was good. It was good stuff. But after that, we're introduced to some of our main characters. We got Phil, who's played by Johnny Whitaker, a child actor.
I like Phil.
And his twink son, Chris.
Excuse you?
Which I just want to say there might be a little crossover. Yeah, Crazy Chris. But I think there's a little crossover between Chris, not me, the other Chris in the movie, and the director's other film work, but we can get into that a little later.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll get into all sorts of stuff. But Chris, how would you describe the house that these two dudes live in?
I would say it is exactly like the set used for the 2011 pornographic movie Jules Jordan Presents Ass Worship 13.
I'm guessing because it is because the same
it is
house.
The same.
Did you guys notice how tall the door was, by the way?
Oh my god.
It is just your typical Malibu sort of McMansion where the sound echoes like a motherfucker and it's not good.
And there's the driftwood statue in stripper boots.
Yeah.
Yes, and they call attention to the driftwood statue for no reason.
It's the first thing our hero says. Yeah, he walks in, we don't know what's happening, and the first thing out of Whitaker's mouth is,
"This thing is hideous. What was I thinking?"
So along the way here, we get the rest of our main characters. You got Franny, you got Susan, Trent, and Tina, who is played by an actor by the name of Janice Peebles, a.k.a. J. Peebs, as I like to call her. And guys, just a little quick story. I know someone who used to go out with Janice, and I said, hey, I would love to chat with her about, you know, her career and about a talking cat. And the message that came back to me was, she's okay with doing the interview as long as we don't talk about a talking cat. She won't talk about it.
That's probably all she gets asked about.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Yeah.
We got the mom, though, Paul. Susan.
Yeah,
so
Susan.
We should make sure all the everyone knows the rules. Whatever's his name. Phil is the dad. Chris is the son. And then there's Susan, the mom of her two kids. Tina and Trent, and then Franny is like a school friend. But the mom is played by Christine DeBell.
I just want to say what a fantastic introduction scene she's got, where she's walking around. She's apparently a caterer, and she cooks everything in her home kitchen. And she's running around looking for her shoes because she can't wear open-toed sandals to this catering thing she's bringing food for, because no one wants toes in their cheese puffs.
It's true. That's
and it's like a 10-minute long scene that she's looking for her shoes. And thankfully, Duffy the talking cat is there to show her where the shoes are.
Hi there.
Is that a cat?
Four paws, kind of furry, yep. I think so.
Wonder what it wanted.
My stinky shoes, apparently. Can you put that in the car for me, sweetheart?
Yeah.
Thanks.
And they keep the cat on there with the laser pointer, and you can totally see.
Please, I can't take it anymore. Someone, please just say what Susan's from.
All right, Mike.
They may not want toes in this movie's cheese puffs, but what B movie royalty movie was she starring in that maybe they would?
They want more than that, the cheese puffs.
A little more than toes. She starred in the 24-hour B movie marathon alum, Alice in Wonderland, an X-rated musical Fantasia.
I didn't know that.
She plays the titular Alice.
I get it.
It is
her first credited movie.
Yeah,
Well, now I'm really going to have to watch. I slept through that last year. I'm really going to have to check it out.
Yeah, I just woke
now.
Up to like very graphic images on the screen, and then I'd pass out again, and I'd wake up, and there's more graphic images.
It was the most bizarre movie we watched that entire marathon.
But yeah, Mike, that's kind of what I was going to get into next, just sort of a little bit of a description of what our characters' sort of, I guess you'd say, motivations are, although that's kind of a loose term.
Well, I think Kristen DeBell's is to do a complete career 180, so she doesn't have to do porn.
She's done other work for this director, though, so...
A lot. Like a talking pony?
hold your horses there, Chris. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Can I ask a quick question about Phil?
Yeah.
So Phil did just retire, and he comes in and he says his business is sold, and he's worked on code half his life.
Yes.
So I was hoping, Chris, as a computer person, maybe you could tell us what kind of code takes half of someone's life to complete?
Jay, working half your life on code involves things like changing up some of the algorithms, getting lists of variables, and maybe getting some recognition software.
Oh, so, well, okay,
that's
but
exactly
like...
exactly what that takes.
If he's working on code for half his life, isn't, like, in a couple years, does he just start over again? Is that what's happening?
Well, probably what happens is he forgets to save or commit his... his code to his local source control repository, and he just loses everything. So he's got to start from scratch every couple of years.
Phil.
He's a genius. But Phil's son, Chris, is mainly trying to chat up Franny, who he is tutoring for some kind of unknown reason.
She's having problems in English.
I didn't really get that. Huh?
She's having problems in English.
Okay, fine. Tina is trying to get a job, basically, and...
In business. No, she's trying to go to business school. She wants
business
to go to, she really wants to go to business school so she can open business.
Yes. And her mom, Susan, is quite busy making cheese puffs and clearly drink every time someone says cheese puffs in this movie.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Drinking rules.
Hey, but they're really good cheese puffs. Come on.
They did look good.
Mm-hmm.
Trent has absolutely no clue what he's doing with his life. It's a sad story.
He's drawing a fence. That counts.
Yeah, that's about it.
Oh, and he likes to swim.
For some reason, Duffy the cat starts talking to Jay Peebs. And Mike, how would you describe the CGI used for Duffy's mouth?
I think it's... Ooh. I mean, it kind of looks like construction paper could have done it, but...
Yeah.
I think actually South Park may have looked technically better than that. So, no, it looks like they just put a little black thing and then, like, squiggled its nose up and down with, like, a pen tool or something. I don't know. It looks real good. It just stretches it out real bad.
Now I just want to say, though, that the lip movements absolutely do not mouth... They do not match Eric Roberts' perfect dialogue.
No.
Not at all.
No.
I'm sure Eric Roberts' mouth doesn't match his perfect dialogue.
Oh, I'm sure it didn't.
Whatever that means.
And Duffy, like I said, makes this decision that he's going to help all of them out. And he starts by talking to Tina.
You're a cat.
Read your machine.
And you're talking? How? Who? What?
Tina.
The sort of thing is exactly what a quote-unquote human whisperer does.
Yeah, well, he is a human whisperer.
He tells us.
He is.
He tells us.
Yes,
he
does.
A talking cat tells us.
And he starts talking to Tina, but he tells her that he can only speak to her once because, quote, it's the rules.
Please read your machine. I can only speak to you once. It's the rules.
Okay. I will.
Whose rules Duffy is playing by is unbeknownst to me.
Well, I think it's fairly obvious, but we can get into that later.
What's that?
I mean, I can start with the cat facts now if you want some cat facts.
Well, wait.
Oh, God. Do I have to do a soundbite where you're saying cat facts?
Yeah, you already did it, so this is perfect.
Cat facts!
Do your cat facts involve the talking cat getting his powers from the Prince of Magic?
Prince of Magic.
Oh, come on now.
No, but I wouldn't... The Prince of Magic may be involved.
Prince of Magic.
I just want to point out the fact that obviously this movie is about how cats are actually aliens who have come to Earth to spy on us.
Oh.
So, obviously, the rules are from their commanders and all that kind of stuff. So, I don't want to get too deep into this stuff. I'll save some more cat facts for later.
Okay.
But,
okay.
You know, I just want to point that out. That's one cat.
Interesting
fact.
Theory.
Mm-hmm. Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, okay, speaking of nom, nom, I would love to see Eric Roberts sitting in his living room making sounds like he's lapping up milk.
Nom, nom, nom. Did someone mention my name? Never mind.
It happened.
It did.
It's a thing that happened.
Yeah.
I imagine he might have had some, like, you know, goldfish or something. He just put one in his mouth and then... Nom, nom, nom,
of course
nom,
he'd
nom.
Want goldfish. He's a talking cat.
That's nom, true. Nom.
That's so delicious. Nom, 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 nom. Did somebody say my name?
So, per his instructions, essentially, she gets on her laptop and learns that Phil has retired. And Jason Hall's, I thought it was a pretty touching scene, really.
Yeah, I mean... Well, when she learns that he retires, they're looking at the press release, and it says, like, Globe Tech and Global Tech, and...
Yeah.
It's just not good.
It's a good website. It's good design.
Jay, how do you know what it could possibly say? How could you have seen it?
I read it.
What do you mean?
Where'd you read it?
Yeah, how?
What do you mean, where did I read it? I paused it.
No, you didn't.
You didn't need to pause it.
You just let
it's
it happen.
It's on the screen for 3.5 yeah, minutes. Yeah.
You can read the whole press release in the movie.
Oh, it keeps cutting back, and then she slowly scrolls down more.
but we're missing the true mystery. Who put the website on her beatbox's screen?
Yeah, what's with that? How come Eric Roberts knows how to manipulate people and talk, but he still calls computers beeping machines, and phones he calls beeping machines?
He's a different race. Here's another cat fact for you.
Cat facts!
If you take a cat and push its ears back, it looks exactly like a gray alien. Big, wide almond eyes, small nose, small mouth. It is exact.
Okay.
Hey, Mike.
All right,
Mike.
I'm going to have to, I don't know.
Mike, I'm starting to think that your cat facts are bullshit facts.
All right, well, you tell the Illuminati that when you say that their ears aren't the exact shape of the pyramid.
Right as soon as I finish eating this popcorn, I'm going to the top, the very top. Oh, yum, yum, yum,
no
yum,
cheese
yum.
Puffs, Chris?
Popcorn.
Why are you eating popcorn while we're recording a podcast?
Yeah, what are you doing? What,
yeah.
Mal thought she just gave me a bowl of popcorn.
Well,
what am I supposed to do? Not
give
eat it?
Back.
Loud enough with his fucking chair and his drink.
Oh my god.
All right, you know what? I got this wine.
That's quieter.
Do you want to just, should we just wait for you to, just eat and drink and, creak in your chair
and
cough?
Guys, give Chris 30 seconds. Let's give Chris 30 seconds to do what he needs to do.
I've moved my popcorn out of reach.
Put it out your mouth.
Well, it's out of reach. I can't reach in my mouth to take the popcorn out.
We don't hear the popcorn. We hear you chewing the popcorn.
If anyone's been listening to B-Movie Mania this long enough, they know that Chris provides the ambiance for the show.
God.
It's just not the same.
Yeah, I hope this is all in. I hope this all stays.
So Duffy... he sets out to basically talk to everyone in the film once to set them, on the right path in their life. And next up is Phil. He tells Phil to go for a walk.
Duffy?
You should take a walk in the woods.
What's going on here?
Wait, can I take this one?
Jay, go right ahead. I'm going to take a pee.
Okay.
So talk for at least 45 seconds.
Duffy says, Phil, go take a walk in the woods. No, Paul, that's it.
And this is, I'll save Paul a little bit for this. This is the second person he's talked to. And when this happened, I looked and it was 30 minutes in. When I watched this the first time, I had that thought of, is this even a talking cat movie, or does the cat just talk at like narrator? And I was under the impression that was the case until suddenly. Oh, we're keep Paul. Don't edit this pee out.
It took
Holy
a little too
crap.
Long.
Oh,
if Paul can pee, I can eat popcorn.
Well, yeah, while he's peeing, butter it up. But yeah, I thought it was gonna be one of those, narrated things, but it is not. It suddenly surprised you.
I thought it'd be more of a thinking cat.
Hey, you know what? This Something movie like is filled with life lessons, okay? For one, almost immediately you get hit with the life lesson. It's about kids that are or parents trying to help their kids find their way in life. We're too obsessed with technology and not living.
Yep.
Hmm. We're spending too much time indoors. We're not going outside enough.
Exactly. At the heart of the whole story, it's about a family.
It is. It really is.
And,
all right.
And about our feline overlords who are spying on us and who eventually will take over. It's just another cat fact.
Cat facts!
So, Jay, tell me if you got into this or not. He goes on this walk. It leads him to meeting Susan, right?
Yep.
It seems to me like they really hit it off.
They both love Humphrey Bogart.
They do. That's true. So some shit happens, and
the movie ends.
I don't know.
I think we also both love Alice in Wonderland.
I didn't catch that. Are you just is that like part of your fanfic? I didn't catch any of that.
Yeah, they both really like Alice in Wonderland. I may be blending fantasy and reality here, but.
All right, so he gets told to go walk in the woods, and he puts on a shirt, which I believe this is supposed to be a kid's movie, but not for any Spanish-speaking children, because his T-shirt says, "One damn day at a time," in Spanish.
But it's in Spanish, so it's okay for kids.
Yeah, I guess the never mind. I'm not going to get into that.
Are Spanish children exposed to swear words earlier in life than
let's not get into that either. I think it really boils down to the inconsideration of the filmmakers, but let's get past that.
I do want to ask Jay how he thinks American children might feel about this movie.
Oh man, you know, okay. You want me to tell you about this now?
Please.
So I watched it, you know, a couple days ago, and I was doing other things while I was watching it, but enough that I paid attention to the whole thing and I took my notes and all that stuff.
You have a little boy.
But I do. And so today I'm like, all right, we're putting this on again. Mike put it on. I'm like, we got time. I want to show it to Aaron. I'm like, this will be funny. So I put it on and Logan like is just zeroed in on it. Like,
oh, man.
Won't look away from this. And then I started.
Logan is what, 2.5?
Yeah. And we started going, a talking cat? And then he just ran around saying, a talking cat, over and over again.
So there's an audience for this thing.
Yeah, I think it's the music. See, kids might like this particular episode of our podcast because we have all this music going on.
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot the music is playing over all this,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yep. How could you forget? You can hear it, Paul. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that happen in this movie that just don't matter, and I'm just going to gloss over it. If there's anything that anybody wants to say, you're more than welcome to. You know, bottom line, eventually Phil ends up back over at Susan's place. They clearly got a little something going on. And Mike, Phil drops the cheese puffs on the floor, okay?
Duffy? Phil, don't freak out. Don't freak out.
My cheese puffs.
Oh, don't be mad.
And Phil freaks out.
Can we just say, though, that, yeah, he drops the cheese puffs on the floor after almost being run over by some asshole kid Subaru.
This is true.
Well, also, did you notice the big mistake in that scene, too, where Susan takes the puffs? Susan grabs the cheese puffs right out of the oven and says they're hot, but she's not wearing any gloves. So the oven clearly wasn't on. And then he drops them.
Yeah.
Jay, if your hands had been where Kristen DeBell's hands have been,
you
wouldn't need them.
There's just not even any skin on there anymore.
Yes.
What are you trying to say, Mike?
I can't even. So he comes over, but has Duffy? Duffy doesn't talk for half an hour, and then he talks to everyone within like 5 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, it happens pretty quick.
Hey. Not everyone. He doesn't talk to Franny.
He doesn't talk to Susan either.
Doesn't talk to Susan.
Oh, yeah, he never did talk to Franny. No, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah. He talked to Franny.
No, I don't think he did talk to Franny.
No, by the pool.
I don't think so.
He talked to us, not to Franny.
Yeah.
I think you guys are missing the fact that it was a subliminal message to our brands because cats are able to actually transmit, you know.
Okay, so
like that.
After he drops the cheese puffs.
Well, I mean, this is a major sort of crisis because Susan has these cheese puffs ready for her, like, investment meeting or whatever.
Right.
Phil straight up drops them on the floor.
What?
And so Phil and Tina go over to his place to make new cheese puffs and talk about business opportunities.
Well, and Tina sneaks away. She's not supposed to.
Yes.
Without her phone, may I add.
And this ends up causing a lot of tension between Susan and Phil. There's basically a big blow-up inside Phil's mansion where we get Jay. What would you call this in terms of a screenwriting technique? The darkest, what's it called?
Well, I guess it could be the Dark Night of the Soul, but I don't know if this
it totally
movie
is. No, it totally is.
Okay. This is the Dark Night of the Soul. This is the part
is.
Where everything is just going to hell.
I just want to say that this is where my personal dark night of the soul happened when Phil totally abuses the computer jargon that I said earlier in the show.
What do you mean?
Algorithm?
Well, when Trina is showing Phil her website, I guess, and Phil says...
Trini?
What is her name?
Tina.
J-Peebs. There's an R in there somewhere, and it's probably in some of the computer jargon I'm about to say. But
algorithm?
She's showing off algorithm. There's the R. But she shows him the website, and Phil really thinks she's got something there. I mean, all he'd need to do is change up some of the algorithms, you know, compile a list of variables, get some recognition software. Hey, you got a website.
You got a stew going.
Got a stew going.
So what do you think about my idea?
Well, you know, I've got a buddy who has a similar engine. We change up some of the algorithms, get a list of variables, get some recognition software,
It's a thumb drive. I've been working on the math for a long time. I think I have the right list of variables and the basics for an algorithm, but I need help.
You're just a teenage girl, right? Not like any teenage girl I ever knew.
We could be nerds now, too.
I guess you can.
I think this leads us into the most important lesson the movie has to teach us, is that girls can be nerds now, too.
Oh, yes.
Another important lesson.
True.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And also, young boys can swim together.
Well, yeah, okay.
You gotta watch out for the pool sharks, though. Mm-hmm. You got just the tip poking out of the water. Just the tip poking out of the water. Only the tip swimming
Wait,
through,
what?
Going for the young men.
No,
the tip
we're getting
of the
down.
Pool shark.
Okay.
We're getting into 13-13 territory. This is not this director's
boy,
movie.
That's a whole nother ballgame. So yeah, well, I mean, my next note here, we might as well do this. Trent goes over to Phil's mansion. I'm not really sure why, but it happens.
To find Tina.
Yeah, he's got to get Tina.
Yeah.
And to swim with young Chris.
Yeah, and he teaches Chris how to swim. And Jay, I feel like you might have something to say about this scene.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, it plays like the ramp up to a porn scene.
Do you think you could teach non-kids how to swim?
Sure. No problem. I just may have to come over a lot this summer and make sure the pool is up to snuff.
Sure, whatever you need. As long as I can swim without sinking.
That's the easy part. Get in.
It just gives off a bit of a vibe.
Oh,
and that's
obviously
fine.
And it doesn't. And just to be clear, that is not the only time in the film that that kind of thing happens.
Right.
I mean, it happens between Tina and Phil in the kitchen.
Does it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it happens between Phil and Chris in the very first scene.
Oh.
Let's get that pizza.
Guys, it happens to everyone in every single one of the director's movies.
Yeah.
We can't ignore who it is.
Right, right.
What is this? Let's talk a little bit about the director. It seems like an opportune time.
Because I'll tell you, it's not Mary Crawford.
No.
Are you saying that's a pseudonym, Mike?
Yeah, it's a somethingnym.
What's his name? David?
David Dakotu, I think is how you pronounce it, or something. He's famous. He's made a ton of movies, like 90 plus 100 movies.
Yeah.
And he's famous mostly for kind of inventing a movie style, I think is called like boxer brief porn or something or whatever.
Or whatever,
it's not
Mike.
Hardcore porn, but it's like, it's getting young, handsome men to walk around like a mansion, like the 1313 series, which this guy made, and make them walk around and do mundane things. Just like, all right, clean the pool. And it's just 5 minutes of cleaning the pool, which you can kind of see in the directing style of this film. Not just what we talked about here, but in how long stuff takes and how like boring everything is.
Didn't we try to watch Cougar Club one time?
Oh, fucking Cougar Cult. Good gods almighty.
Yep, that's him.
Yep, that's the that's same him. Guy. Yeah, so he's famous for that kind of stuff. So
yeah, but if you look at his biography on IMDb, not bad.
Yeah.
It says that he got his start from a generous offer from movie legend Roger Corman.
Yeah,
and then later on, he produced his first feature film for another generous film legend, Charles Band, who we are, both of those guys we are quite familiar with.
He did
with.
Some of the Puppet Master movies, right?
He did some shit.
Some of the later ones? Yeah. He's done some good stuff.
In no way discrediting this gentleman. Yeah. He has done a lot of stuff. I'm just mentioning that the mild homoeroticism that happens in a few of these scenes is on par. Nothing wrong with it. It's just on par.
I mean, I wouldn't mind shooting a movie over. I'm going to look into it and see if I can shoot something over at this place.
Do it next week. Yeah. Just call him.
Just call him up. What are you doing? A bunch of shit happens again that really doesn't matter.
None of it matters.
None of this matters until...
Tragedy.
Until Duffy gets hit by a car.
Tragedy.
And Chris, Duffy's in some pretty rough shape here.
Oh my God.
This was a hard scene to watch.
I had tears streaming from my eyes during this scene.
Why is that?
Mostly because I was laughing so hard. Duffy is just lying on a bed. He's just lying on a bed, and his head... I mean, he's in really bad shape. I mean, the vet said he was in really bad shape, so...
Like guts hanging out of him, or...?
Well, gauze loosely wrapped around his head. Like, very... kind of... More really kind of draped over his head. Not even really wrapped.
The cat's just moving like normal.
It's like... The cat's just lying down, wondering why the fuck he's got gauze on his head.
He's a good cat.
Yeah, he is.
They keep cutting to like 5 second intervals, if that even, of how long the cat wasn't like trying to claw it off of his body. Like
and this sort of this unfortunate situation does sort of lead everyone to come together even though they're going through some problems. Yeah, they head into the bedroom where Duffy is attempting to recuperate, and this is when they all realize that it all comes together. They all realize that Duffy has spoken to them.
I don't know what it is about that cat. It's like he spoke to all of us. Why are you looking at each other like that?
Duffy, he spoke to all of us.
And they come up with this plan. I just seemingly out of nowhere to find his collar, which is somehow going to save his life.
Well, Trent was told about the collar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Okay. Did I miss
just hidden,
that?
Just hidden in the woods from his original owner. Which? What the fuck happened to his original owner?
Well, his original owner is. Is the gray aliens?
Oh right.
From another.
So everybody goes to the woods, and they all split up in the woods, but yet somehow they're all together.
It's well, the directions that Duffy gives Trent is.
And there's a collar my original owner gave me, buried under a grove of magical trees due north of here.
It's near a fallen tree, and just through a hedge, it looks like a fuzzy green wall. The collar is what lets me help. People.
Oh my God.
Okay, but like when they go to find the collar, it's just laying on a rock,
on top of cat food.
yeah. If you pay close attention, I saw at least one scene where there's like a cat treat on a couch to like get the cat to get up there.
Can I say real quick that this collar looks nothing like anything that would be left by gray aliens?
Hmm.
Some sort of like
Mike,
burned
you got
up,
a comment about that?
Burned out hemp collar kind of thing.
Well, Christopher, this gives me a good time for another cat fact.
Cat facts!
Cats are originally showed up on this planet during the times of the ancient Egyptians. And so this is a ceremonial reed necklace that was woven by ancient Egyptians that has given the magical power to, you know, to a cat. Because this is proven because historically there is no documentation of domesticated cats before the Egyptian civilization. So that's just solid proof.
What?
Solid
now,
proof.
Now what about magic
solid
trees, Mike?
Proof
explain
that
the
aliens.
Magic trees the collars are buried under. Or you know,
well, it's probably
like
the,
or
down.
The rocks they're laying on.
Yeah, the rocks are laying on.
It's probably the collar is what gives magic to the trees.
Oh shit! It all makes sense now. It all makes so much
boy.
Sense.
The bottom line here is they find the collar, they put it on Duffy, and for some fucking reason, it creates this glowing green ball that's sort of like. Floats from Duffy like into the sky?
What's one of his lives that came from the collar?
Okay.
Yeah, he did say that. Yeah.
That the Greys gave him.
Phil says, we did something.
What happened?
We did something.
I'm Duffy. I'm a talking cat.
Like, that's it. He just says, we did something. Nobody knows what's happening.
He might as well have said a thing happened.
A thing happened.
It might, It might be my favorite line from any movie. It is amazing. What? They're like, what? What happened? And he's like, we did something.
We did something.
All right, but that's fine.
I have a theory, and Mike, I want to run it past you in particular because you seem to be into this conspiracy theory here.
Well, I don't know.
I'm really surprised that we haven't really touched on this as too much, but there is an actual kind of pseudo sequel to this movie. It's called The Talking Pony! !!
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering, this glowing green ball, is it somehow the force or the energy that allows an animal to talk to people? So did that glowing green ball transfer from Duffy into the pony from the next movie?
Paul, that is so weird. I genuinely watched a talking pony?
No.
Oh my god.
And then I woke up and recorded a very special episode of my video web series, Good Morning Bad Movie.
Oh yeah.
Where I described it. And I will release it. We'll release it during this when we got this. So either it was up or will be coming up.
However, there you go. If you've ever had a reason to go to bmoviemania.com, now is your chance.
Yeah.
Go to a Talking Cat episode and click down below and watch Mike's video of his thoughts from Good Morning Bad Movie.
Hey, can I make this even more weird?
Uh-huh.
In A Talking Pony, Johnny Whitaker, who plays Phil, is the voice of the pony.
Yeah, that's true.
There are a handful of actors and actresses that are in the movie as well.
I assume that it's all the same universe, though.
All different roles.
I'm guessing Jay Peebs was not involved.
I forget. There was one of those young women was in it.
Franny. Whatever. And then everyone lives happily ever after the end. Yeah.
I'm Duffy. I'm a talking cat.
God,
totally
damn
forgot.
It.
Can we do ratings?
I'm letting you guys go. Mike, any more cat facts?
Yes, Paul, of course. I do have another cat fact.
Cat facts!
Have you ever noticed how when you're watching cat videos online, you start to feel your soul come out of your eyes and into the screen of the computer or phone you're watching on?
God, that's so true.
Wait, are we talking about beep machines? Beeping machines?
Yes,
beep machines. Yeah, beeping machines.
Yes, that's something that the cats are intentionally doing.
Good to know. Rating time!
Rating time!
Chris Hudson, 1 out of 100 cheese puffs. It's gotta be cheese puffs. What do you give a talking cat?
You know, I watched this movie and it made me laugh a lot because there's just so much happens. It's so stupid. And the movie has kind of a heart to it and it's kind of fun, but it's not good at by any means. And I found myself, I want to give it a pretty low score because it's just a bad movie. But after I finished watching
it, you started so positive there.
Well, but I kept thinking about it all day today. It just stuck with me.
All right, I'm not trying to influence you. Just go ahead. I'm not trying to influence you.
I just kept thinking about things like the shot with the cat wrapped in the gauze. Oh my god, it's just so fucking funny. Oh my god. And I just keep thinking about just scenes and shots and just laughing in the middle of my day at work.
Isn't that worth something?
Totally. So I'm raising my score from what I originally thought I would give it. I mean, it's still not a great movie, but I'm going to give it 65. I'm going to drop 65 cheese puffs on the floor.
Okay. Oh. There you go.
Woo.
Mike Hayes, hit me.
Oh, number two, huh? Okay. I think we all know that this boy does have a soft spot for real shitty kids movies.
Yep.
Paul, you picked this one and you knew I was going to get into this
thing. I knew what was up.
That's hard to decide how to rate it because bad kids movies are not most people's cup of tea. So I'm going to give it, I'm going to keep it true to me, but I'm going to keep it a little bit like, I don't want someone to look and see how I rated it just without hearing what I'm saying here out of context and think, oh, it's an amazing movie.
Mike, I think the rest of our scores will balance that out.
It's just the director didn't give a shit.
Oh, he did not care about anything.
He even said it. There's a quote I saw, and I won't go look it up again, but there's a quote attributed to him that says some of his friends watched it, and they called him and said, oh my, you finally made a movie we like. We keep watching it. And so he rewatched it, and he's like, yeah, it's so bonkers. I just couldn't stop laughing. So I'm like, I love that attitude, because that fucking animation of that cat mouth is so bad.
I like that he had to rewatch it to figure out what he did during the movie. Yeah.
What'd I do to make people like a movie? All right, so that being said, I watched it twice, and it's not great, but if you got some friends and you can drink during it, I think we have two solid drinking rules, at least, you know, come up with whatever. I'd give it a 57 cheese puffs.
Okay.
Wow.
Jason Halls.
Yeah. Okay. So I was doing other things the first time I watched this, and it was a pleasant enough experience. If while I'm like doing my other stuff on my computer and I had the movie playing and I was watching it, like, it didn't bother me.
It didn't bother me. I wish that was a quote on the back of the DVD.
So, I mean, I expected going into this to just give it a real bottom-of-the-barrel score, but I can't, because it was okay. And then when I watched it again today, and Logan got into it for, you know, a good 20 minutes or so, you know, we shared, you know, a little time together watching a B movie, so that has some value to me too. So I'm gonna go 62 cheese puffs.
Okay.
Just it would have been lower, but those last minute things that we're gonna pump it up a little bit just because of that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's nice to know that we're on the same page pretty much for this one. And I have to echo really what Chris said, is that it's the type of thing that kind of accidentally ends up sticking with you. I mean, I thought about this movie way more than I thought about, like, Three Billboards from Ebbing, Missouri or whatever fucking Oscar shit I saw. So,
no one in the history of the world has ever put those two things together. You just did that. That's a first.
Yeah. So yeah, with that in mind, I'm going to kind of hang in there. I'm going to go 68 cheese puffs. It's a good watch. It's, you know, Mike, like you said, get a couple beers, get a few friends together, and I think you'll have a pretty good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right when you said that you guys keeps popping up into your head. And you can't forget you watched it. It is one of those things where I don't want to sit down by myself and watch it again.
Yeah.
No.
So, but I do kind of want to be like, dude, let's sit down and watch this movie. You gotta see this fucking thing.
And the other thing, is, I kind of want to watch more of his movies, like some 13 shit or whatever.
Yeah. Fuck it, 66 cheese puffs, 66. Changing my vote.
I think there's something also to the value of having Eric Roberts do the cat, because it's just so absurd. Like, if it wasn't Eric Roberts, I don't think it would be as interesting. But like, just knowing it's him makes it more just like, what am I watching?
And just that, just the way he sounds so disinterested in every single line he says.
yeah.
Recorded in his bathroom.
God.
Maybe we didn't talk about him quite enough, but he crushed it.
Oh, totally.
He totally crushed it.
Totally.
Hey, what do you guys think? If you could make the next talking animal movie, what animal would you pick?
Hmm.
A talking cat butt?
It'd just be a cat's ass.
Okay, we didn't even talk about the gratuitous cat butt shot that happens early on in the film.
Yeah, you see a full cat asshole.
Full cat nudity.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
All right, boys. This time, I'm going to give you a choice.
Oh.
I have two movies from the same director.
What?
I'm gonna give you the years, and you tell me what you want.
Oh my gosh!
This is a famed director. This man had been making movies since Geez, since 1963 up until, you know, oh, geez, last year. So you can have either 1973 or 2010.
Ooh, oh my gosh.
This could go.
I have an idea.
So right and so wrong.
I'm going to go 2010.
All right, we got one for 2010.
I'll do 73.
Okay, Paul, you're breaking it. What do you want?
I got to go 73.
All right.
I don't know if we've ever done a 70s movie.
Oh. That means we are going to watch the classic Ted V. Mickles film, The Doll Squad, baby.
Oh, nice. Yes.
A few listeners out there, it's on Amazon. It's on YouTube. It might be somewhere else, so you could buy it. Like, they've been releasing a lot of Ted V. Mickles stuff. But this movie is a squad of beautiful government agents try to catch saboteurs, and that's all you need to know.
Nice.
Yeah, it's looking real great. I have not watched it yet, but I am excited to.
Meow, 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 iTunes, meow.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydy? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They are touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Everybody, if you like what you hear and you like the podcast, it would mean the world to us if you would go and subscribe on any of the podcast machines that you can get a hold of these days. And ratings. Ratings are very important to us. We would love a 5-star rating on iTunes, a nice little review. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And,
meow. Meow. Meow.
I'll translate it for all you cats. And other than that, we'll see you next time on B-Movie Mania.
Hey, Logan, you got something to say?
Hey, Logan, come here. Do you want to say a talking cat?
Tiki cat?
Talking cat?
Look at me.
You saying look at me?
Is this what it sounded like?
Look at me.
You sing that.
A talking cat?
Tiki cat.